welcome. I am Gerilyn Witchers. I'm here with Mr. Aiden Clowett, Miss Aislinn Hicks, and also Mr. Jeremy Morantz.
Yeah, I'm here.
Here in the heart of the downtown.
Thank you for pronouncing my name right, Gerilyn. That means a lot.
Wait, speaking of pronunciation, how did you just pronounce downtown?
Downtown.
I love it. Off to a great start.
We're just doing fantastic. Now, last week was, of course, the succulent episode, also known as Big Pharma's Gonna Get You, but today...
Gonna get ya.
We're gonna talk about beer.
Can I... Just a quick update. Succulent, I still don't like it.
Succulent. We're gonna talk about some
really?
Succulent beers.
You 2 weeks like hasn't changed your mind?
No.
Succulent.
Nothing's... Ew.
Succulent.
Ah, oh, the long ass makes it worse. Okay. Oh, no.
So,
yes. So,
beer.
Yeah, beer. Hello. Yeah. We're here to talk about beer.
Beer, hello.
So,
unfortunately, at this time, we are not drinking any beer.
No, that would
speak
not
for
be
for yourself.
Allowed.
Unless
speak
if Jeremy's
yeah, no,
got,
I've got
some
in my backpack.
Back there by the
I'm
controls.
Good.
I don't even like beer, so that's a no.
I got some in my
but
backpack.
We're going to lead into this conversation by talking about downtown and the microbrewery culture that seems to have developed. Because
the sensation that's sweeping the nation.
The sensation that's sweeping the nation. Microbreweries. Well, you know what? Like, to be honest, it's not too far from the truth. That's not that far of a stretch. I think microbreweries have become.
Okay, wait.
Really I know.
True.
I
we
have
haven't
like
done this
seven on my street alone.
We
so
haven't done
be.
This before. But I want to like just preemptively come up with the episode title. Do you even brew?
Oh no! I mean, do you even brew? Instead of bro?
Yeah.
Do you even brew? But, okay.
Your poetry is astonishing, Aiden.
Listen to how funny this sounds if you say it like this. Do you even brew, bro?
Whoa.
Well.
So, dude.
We'll decide on this later. This is,
yeah.
I'm sure this is fascinating content. Yeah. okay.
Wait. I can come up with more brew puns. One
okay,
second.
Let's do it. Oh, yeah. For everyone listening, Aislinn is the pun master, self-proclaimed, but I would second it.
Well, you know, like I was reading the Free Press this morning and I kept on coming across puns and I'm like, just like, Aislinn, girl, you need to go work for the Free
apply.
Press because you could
just
pun all over the place. Like the sports page was just a minefield of puns.
You have a future, Aislinn.
Yeah.
That means so much coming from someone besides my mom.
Okay, brew puns. Let's have them.
Okay.
Brew puns.
Hop on board the newest trend, hops.
Hops, I get it.
give me a sec.
She had one in the cannon.
Best for last.
Wait. Oh, do you remember when we were doing the Peg Beer Co. ads for a different class, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. I remember writing an entire list of puns that I eventually didn't go with.
Because Kenton hates puns.
He does not like my puns as much
Which
as
is,
I do.
It's just why he doesn't write for the Free Press, of course.
Hold up.
Of course.
I've got a whole list here. These are all beer puns. From seed to mead. A cold one with the fellas here. One second. Oh.
Suds and...
Suds and buds.
Oh, for all your ailments.
Oh, don't still care what ails you.
I had so many.
You're looking a little pale. Maybe you should have some ale.
Ha.
That was horrible. That was absolutely horrible.
Those are some.
Everyone is officially tuning out right now.
Those are some Odie puns.
Look, it's pretty much, we haven't mentioned this yet, but it's pretty much the last episode of Not the Suburbs podcast.
Unless we're feeling extremely ambitious and decide to continue this.
So I think for our last episodes, unless, like Aislinn says, we do decide to continue it. But for now, we're assuming it's the last episode. I say we go out on a pun episode and just
yeah.
go up with puns the whole time.
Not with the bang,
Should
but
every
the
segment
pun.
Just have a pun attached to it?
Yes.
So are you all out of beer puns, Aislinn?
Send news.
I am for now. I'm sure I'll think of some.
Oh, yeah.
Just give me some time.
Okay, so we got really derailed there.
I'm sorry. I went on a tangent.
Let's talk about all the microbreweries that have popped up in downtown Winnipeg over the last few years. I mean, I think it's a sign of Winnipeg being a modern and trendy city.
An alcoholic city.
Or that. Yeah. That's not where I was going.
Something I want to say out loud, but yeah, sure.
I mean,
I'll agree with it.
I won't weigh in either way. I don't know enough to weigh in.
That's the part that we added out later.
I mean, yeah. I think it's like everything that's going on downtown. It's like instead of like bringing it in from like somewhere else, we're just making it here in the city. I think it's mm-hmm. a cool concept.
Yeah.
And all these microbreweries, like, they have really trendy interiors. The people there, you know, they're cool
very
looking.
Very aesthetically pleasing.
They yeah. all have really nice man buns, you know,
they're all
a little
cool
beard.
Looking millennials.
I might not be a beer drinker, but I can appreciate the aesthetic.
You can appreciate a beard drinking.
Yeah, you know, Aislinn, like, they kind of are like how
I'm
the.
Here for the man bun.
They kind of are like the coffee shops that you love so much. It's sort of similar in my mind, at least. I don't know. What about you guys?
Yeah, well. Yeah. I'd be the wrong person to ask.
The way artisanal coffee shops have become such a trend, especially in areas like downtown. Microbreweries have done the same. Am I wrong?
I would definitely agree with that, yeah. There's a certain like communal aspect that a lot of these breweries share, such as like the Common.
Yeah.
Barnhammer. They all have this aesthetic that just welcomes inclusivity and just sitting at the bar. That doesn't feel like just sitting at the bar, right?
Yeah. It's definitely a different experience than just going to some dive bar. And speaking of the Common... That's what it's called, right? The Forks?
Yeah.
So, to me, putting a microbrewery right in the middle of the Forks market is nothing but a sign of how much microbreweries
genius!
Have...
Genius!
Wait, do they actually brew it there?
Oh, I don't know.
No. It's like, it's a bar. It's oh. not yeah, like an actual
okay,
brewery.
Well, then forget everything I just
but
said.
But it's a super
but they
cute
get
bar,
a,
and they've
they
got
get
all
their
the
shipments
local.
From a bunch of the local breweries.
Yeah. And they have, like, these little tasting platter type things. Like,
They're shaped like...
Yeah,
they're shaped like the Manitoba.
They're so cute. They're shaped like Manitoba. I remember I went with my brother one time and he got a flight. I'm not a beer drinker, but they were actually really interesting flavors. Like one was like peanut butter stout. Like
yeah.
What?
It tasted like a Reese's peanut butter cup. I hate beer, but that tasted good.
That's not what I'm going
it's
for when I'm
so
trying to drink
interesting
beer.
Though. Like there's so many flavor notes that they pull out of these that you mm-hmm. just don't get in like a Bud Light or something.
Yeah,
like
I'm not the biggest beer fan either, but that does
Bud Light's
sound delicious.
Basically water anyways.
Yeah, after you've drank like more like local craft stuff and you go to just a Bud Light, then it's like, what is this stuff?
I didn't know this until I went to a social over the weekend and I just like intrinsically went and chose for like the, I don't even know how to pronounce it, the Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Oh, yes.
I was told that that was a hipster choice. I was told that was a hipster thing and I didn't know. But
very underwhelming.
It's like the one out of two beers besides MGD. And I'm like, I have MGD too much.
Yeah, I can't weigh in. Again, I don't know too much about the culture, but, you know.
But also, dark beer is real good.
What I will say is I appreciate, like, locally brewed beer, especially when it's, like, really good, like Little mm-hmm. Brown Jug. Mm-hmm. I remember drinking Little Brown Jug and then realizing it was local and being like, no way.
Yeah.
That was so legit.
I think that's still one of my favorite local beers.
And they're, like, they're in legitimate establishments, too. They don't just brew out of their own location across the street here. They, like they're in hotels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're carried all over the place. Yeah. The bar I worked at in Gimli carried only craft beers from Winnipeg, actually. We made that conscious choice to switch from Guinness and all those really well-known ones to only local beers, and people loved it. They loved the fact you're supporting local. And, like, yeah, there's so much currency in making sure that you're buying local products, especially with the beer. Like, everyone just loves the fact that they're like, this was brewed. Literally in Winnipeg.
Mm-hmm. It was actually drinking local beer at Peg Beer Co., which is unfortunately closed now, that turned me into a beer fan. Like, for the longest time, for one thing, I only started drinking alcohol when I was in my 20s. I grew up fairly conservative. And I never really acquired a taste for beer. I sort of started drinking it, and then I happened to be at Peg Beer and tried their Dazzleship IPA, and it's like, wow, this is really, really good. And after that, I kind of turned into well, because if you go from, like, I've had Bud Light a couple times.
Yeah. Egads.
And then you go to this IPA, which is, like, this incredibly bright and fruity and bitter and just intense-tasting drink. It's just, it's night and day. So that turned me into a fan, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think, you know... I was back to my previous point. I mean, I guess I realize now the Commons isn't a brewery itself, but even like putting this like local craft beer bar in the middle of the Forks Market, to me, it screams, you know, how it screams loudly how much micro brewing and local craft beers mm-hmm. have become such a popular thing. Because growing up, the Forks, like, I would have never assumed the Forks would have something like that. And the Forks is a popular place. So to put one right there, I think, is a sign of the times.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. In some ways, it's such a cool choice, but it also feels like such a no-brainer for, like, what the Forks is trying to target. Like,
yeah,
searching for people-wise. Like, you want people to feel welcome. You want people to keep coming back or just show up. And that gives the mm-hmm. Forks a really easy way
yeah.
to make people want to come back, because there's always new beers coming in and there's always new businesses coming into the Forks.
Yeah, like McNally Robinson too.
Yeah.
Do you think that the Forks is trying to target sort of a younger crowd?
I think so.
I would surely trying to
position
think so,
themselves
yeah.
as a trendier place.
Like, there was,
I think it's working.
There was yeah. no way in my life when I was younger that like I wouldn't necessarily be caught dead going to the Forks, but it wasn't like the cool thing to do growing right. up. It was like,
but now it's like the place to be. You like, went if with you your got nothing to do for like an evening, you could be like, just go to the Forks, hang out at the Commons, mm-hmm. get a beer.
True. And the Commons are busy. Like, if oh, they're always busy. Kind of peak times, they are busy.
They're also like the nicest people, though.
Oh, they're
there's
so
a girl
great.
There. I can't remember her name, but she used to be a Cree-commer. She went the same. She was the same year as Joey Vesser was from Here and Away. So okay. me and her got to talking. She was. They just, like, let you stick around and drink your beer, and they'll just be gone. They're like, so we've got to close at this time, but you have your beer. And just
that's awesome.
Chill.
A couple of weeks ago, I went there to take some pictures for an ad campaign. And for one thing, we were just kind of like, okay, well, so what's – I went up to the bartender. I was like, what's good? And he kind of just went through what he recommended. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm actually buying this for her, pointing to the person who was modeling for me. And he's like, oh – I'm going to take pictures of it. And then he's like, oh, okay, well, then I better pour it real nice. And so he just like,
there's this a nice layer of
foam on top. Did he do the scrapey?
Oh.
I don't recall.
That's always
actually.
My favorite bit.
But the then scrapey? I'm like, okay, well, I have to carry
it. Will they scrape
really,
the rest
really
of the foam off in those commercials?
I have to do that every time I pour a beer because I pour them way too heady. So they always have way too much foam on them. And then I have to like scoop some out and then try to re-pour the beer. It's such a tedious task. I hate
I had
beer.
No idea it was such a.
Is there a head pun in there?
Oh, I don't know.
Let's
don't
not,
lose your
we?
Head.
That could go in other directions.
You know, like, even in areas other than downtown, you see them popping up sort of closer to where I live. There's the, what's it called, Trans-Canada Brewery. Have you heard of it?
Oh, I think so.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, so that just opened a few months ago, and I think it's doing really well. And I was brought back some of their – I didn't go to their opening – but I was brought back some of their beer from their opening, and I had some, and it was really good. So, and that's coming from someone, again, can't stress this enough, don't love beer. So, I mean, so it just, I think the quality in these craft breweries is also, like, is it superior? I don't know. That's the sense I seem to get.
Like, as someone who also is not a beer drinker, once again, I'll reiterate that. I am no expert, but I do like... I can sip someone else's beer if it's like a craft beer and it's got these interesting notes that you can kind of pull out of it. I can actually like have a sip of beer and not want to, you know,
die.
Yeah, well, for lack of a better term, I don't want to throw up when I drink a nice beer. But if someone like is like, oh, want a sip of my Bud Light, I'm like, I can't do it. Sorry.
Yeah, no.
So there is like, I do find that these ones are a lot more manageable even for someone who isn't a beer person.
At what point, though, does, like, there's so many of them, at what point does the city become, like, too full of craft breweries?
Well, I do think it already is a little oversaturated, just, like, because I think of, like, the market, and, like, it's great that a lot of local restaurants are buying this and serving it there, and that's amazing, but at the same time, how many breweries can this city really support? Like, we're not a huge city, and it just seems like there is a little bit of oversaturation.
Yeah. I totally see where you're coming from, but I think up until this point, we haven't seen, I mean, Peg Beer Co. did close, but I don't think it was for a business reason. So mm-hmm. we haven't seen any breweries close for business reasons,
no.
which is a sign that maybe we haven't reached that point yet.
No, I don't know if we have like reached that point, but I think that there isn't room on the market for many more to open up. I don't think there's that room.
Yeah. There was an article that I think I briefly discussed when we were talking about Peg Beer Co. last episode, And it was an interview with another craft brewmaker here in the city. And the issue that he seemed to think was the case was there was a bit of oversaturation. And on top of that, like, it's just not a very viable, financially stable business venture, at least right now with how right. Manitoba policies and...
Okay, so that brings up a really interesting question that I'd like to hear you guys think. So is it just a flash in the pan? Is it just a trend that will fade one day? Is it fleeting? So would starting a microbrewery business in 2018 be a smart long-term idea? Or is it something that's sort of, you know, let's say 5-10 years from now, you're going to be going out of business because no one cares about microbreweries anymore? Or not? Like, I don't know. What do you guys think?
Well, one of the things that, I pulled up an article from the CBC now about Peg Beer closing. And there, basically, one of the problems is that there isn't a lot of tax incentives to being a local brewery. So that's one of the things that makes it a little bit tougher for Winnipeg breweries to compete.
Or let alone make money. I think that's the...
Yeah.
I mean, and it's such, like, a big investment with all the equipment you need to buy. Like, it is so expensive to start up, and you don't, like, see that money back for the first couple years, especially right. if you're a small startup. So it's a lot of investment and a couple years to, like, get on your feet as a business. So I think it is one of those things that, like, I mean, as all small businesses, if you're committed, it will take off, and mm-hmm. you can make it work. But I do think that it is a huge investment to make on something that hasn't been around that long.
Maybe here's a better way just to... toward what I'm asking. I think, like, are microbreweries a trend?
I think they are definitely to a certain trend. Extent, but I think that
maybe
they
not
also
trend. Like, are they a flash in the pan?
Yeah, I would have to say I don't think so. I think it does have the potential to be a flash in the pan, but I think Winnipeg, as it's growing right now, is looking and aiming to support those sorts of ventures by, like, supporting more local businesses, supporting local small shops and stuff like that. Like, Winnipeg is making strides to try and make that to be more welcoming to those businesses, I think. So I think that also applies to local breweries in the near future, at least not right now with what Geralyn said. There aren't
yeah,
too many
and there's
tax
also,
benefits.
Right
but.
Now, there's also the problem that these breweries have to have basically a restaurant attached to them. Otherwise, they can't,
you can't
sell.
Just sell drinks.
They can't just brew. And, of course, the restaurant industry is notoriously a difficult one to survive in.
The thing is if you are serving any kind of alcohol, you do have to serve food. Nobody really says what that food has to be. Mm-hmm. That's kind of the thing, just from, like, what I understand.
To be honest, that was kind of the issue with Peg Beer Co. in the start. I never really liked the food that they kind of supplied wasn't.
It wasn't the star.
It wasn't, like, simple enough, and it wasn't interesting enough to me to right. feel like wanting it.
Yeah. Well, I think that the focus is definitely on the beer. It is. Yeah. So I think, like, by yeah. trying to do too much, you stretch yourself too thin as a business.
Just give me bread, man.
Yeah, bread and
give
beer.
Me bread. Somehow, like, do you just imagine it's like, well, this is our bread restaurant, and you can also drink our beer?
That's the newest trend.
That's the thing.
It's not microbreweries anymore. It's bread.
It's an
artesian bread restaurant.
It's a bread restaurant. Yeah, you can have garlic bread.
I would be
stuff.
There every
Italian
single
bread.
Day.
Oh, that would
Man
not be good.
Bread.
That would not be good for my overall health.
I love bread. Bread is amazing.
Bread is great.
Oh, a nice focaccia.
Have you ever played the game I Am Ooh. Bread?
No.
What is that?
It's like this indie game where you play as, like, this piece of bread in a kitchen, and you have to, like, it's like really ragdoll physics sort of thing. You have to, like, flap.
Did you just hit the mic?
Yeah. You have to, like, flap around in the kitchen and try and get to the toaster or something like that.
Oh, my God.
And that's the objective of the game.
That's crazy. Okay.
Best game ever.
I was at Moxie's the other night. Totally not relevant to that.
Gasp.
But there was a coaster on the table, and I remember seeing it, and it was so funny. It was, every loaf of bread is a tragic story of grains that could have been beer. And I thought
right?
that was, like, amazing. I was like,
what?
Oh.
That's bread beautiful. Is not a waste of grain.
I was, first of all, I was offended by that. I was like, how dare you come for my bread? But it is kind of funny.
So there we go, breweries out there. Just opened a bread restaurant. I mean, mm-hmm. like this article that I'm looking at
I
now.
I want royalties.
Is from the beginning of February. And here it was pending city council approval. There's basically a movement to have it so that microbreweries can just open up a store that sells their beer instead of operating a restaurant or a bar. So I imagine that would already drop their costs and make owning a microbrewery more viable.
The one thing is, though, that part of it is going to sit down and having that beer from the place it's made. So, like, just selling it as, like, retail isn't quite the same.
It's not quite the same, but it also comes with fewer
costs
yeah. and responsibilities. You don't have to operate a restaurant. You don't have to have like serving staff.
Now we just need some local wineries to open up, and I'll be
ooh,
happy.
Now you're talking.
In Manitoba.
Actually, there's a place somewhere in Manitoba actually is like a winery. Like they make wine Cordova's? In Manitoba. I don't know. It's
She types away into the Google
she
machine.
She clicks away. There is
inquiring minds want to know.
There is some place in Manitoba because remember.
Hey Siri.
Alexa.
Is there a winery?
I'm
Alexa,
100%
is there
sure
a winery in Manitoba?
There is a vineyard. There is. I know there is.
In Manitoba?
Oh, the church?
There's one in Killarney. That's it.
Oh, Killarney. Yeah.
Killarney, Manitoba.
It's called Rigby Orchard. It's in Killarney.
Orchard? This was like apple wine?
So, yeah, it's fruit wine.
Speaking of Killarney.
Sounds delicious.
Of course.
I was on a few years ago, of course, because I was in high school. I was on a grade 12 trip to Europe. And our first stop was in a town called Killarney, Ireland. And it's where Michael Fassbender's from. Ooh. And it's right out of like a tourism ad for Ireland. It was incredible. But I came home and I was like, I went to Killarney. And someone was like, you mean Killarney, Manitoba? And I had never heard of Killarney, Manitoba. So I don't know. I guess this is just an all around way of saying, like, I think Manitoba stole the name of a town in Ireland.
You think so?
Killarney was the town over from mine.
Or maybe the Irish came here and they were like, we'll just call it Killarney so it reminds us of home.
Hey, no. hey, hold up. Killarney is one town over from where I grew up, so we had like a bit of like a town-to-town rivalry. And they had like the water towers, like those big water towers. They had one, but it was just like a shamrock painted on it. So they definitely do embrace that whole Killarney thing with the whole Irish
some
painting.
From Killarney.
And, yeah, like they have like the Shamrock Center. Is they're like
the Shamrock.
It's called
Center.
The Shamrock their Center. Hockey, it's like their hockey arena.
The hockey team's called the Leprechauns.
Okay, no. But they definitely
the drunken leprechauns.
They definitely stole
the Killarney
from
leprechauns.
The Irish one because yeah, it's
yeah.
Called
so
the
maybe
Shamrock
they embrace,
and everything.
They embrace how they're also a town in Ireland.
Okay, long story short, this has nothing to do with Winnipeg. I just got excited and thought about wine.
Is there a winery in Winnipeg?
I don't know.
No, there is not.
I don't think so.
But you know, I feel
there's
like there could be an opportunity to make like this would be super duper like hipster. Is you make a whole bunch of rooftop vineyards
Whoa.
In all the different exchange district buildings, and then you make a winery in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what, guys?
Dropping out of Creek.
And then you also have
dreams.
You can have some bees because then you're just like it's intersectional.
Yo, bees are a big deal.
Intersectional hipsterism.
Save the bees.
Lucky. For you, I don't. Well, first of all, I don't know about you guys, but all this talk of microbreweries makes me want to try one out. Lucky for us, I did that and put together this little 2-minute piece for this podcast. Check it out.
I'm excited.
Tucked away in the northwest corner of the Exchange District in downtown Winnipeg is Little Brown Jug, a trendy and modern microbrewery that serves some of Winnipeg's favorite local beer. I recently decided to check out Little Brown Jug with Aiden, who of course you know as one of the co-hosts on this podcast. Noting the ever-growing culture of microbreweries, we wanted to see for ourselves what all the hype is about. All right, this is Jeremy. I'm here at Little Brown Jug with Aiden right now.
Yeah, here we are.
We're about to order our drinks, I guess. So let's do this.
Can I get you guys a pint?
1919.
You just heard Aiden order a 1919. That's Little Brown Jug's signature beer.
We have our one signature beer, which is our 1919.
That's it? Okay, then just the 1919. Okay. I decided to ask the bartender a few questions about the establishment and its drink.
My name's Maura.
And how long have you worked here?
1 year.
Wow, yeah. One whole year. Coming up on your anniversary?
It really is actually May.
So you have the one signature beer. Yeah. Tell me all about what goes into it. Hops, grains, all those words.
So our 1919 is a Belgian pale ale. Grains, we have a French grain and a Belgian grain, of course, and it comes from Canadian malts. Our 1919, what's special about it is the hops that we use. It's called Brewer's Gold, which is a Manitoban hops and an English hops cross-matched, and that happened in the year of 1919, hence the name. As well as we like to bring a little bit of community into it and some historical parts of Winnipeg, which is when we had our 1919 strike. The Belgian Pale Ale is a very well-balanced, low bitterness, malty sweetness with a herbal aroma aftertaste.
So Aiden and I got our drinks, we clinked, and we sipped. There's nothing like a thorough history lesson to help you appreciate good local craft beer. Next time you're in the area, I encourage you to check out Little Brown Jug. For Not the Suburbs Podcast, I'm Jeremy Morantz.
Oh, wow. Thanks, Jeremy, for that great clip.
Started.
Well, you're welcome, Aislinn.
Wow, I am so tired, and not for reasons included from that video, that audio clip.
The video.
It's just exhausting thinking about beer all the time like this.
Thinking about it and not having it.
I started drinking beer at a young age. My dad gave me asked for iced tea. I thought, and he gave me beer in the fridge.
I was born at a young age.
Wow.
Aiden, you were going to talk about the ledge.
Yeah.
So give us some context.
Okay. So yeah, over the weekend, I was walking around, looking to do some filming for an upcoming ad assignment, trying to get some of the ledge, and then I started hearing loud voices coming from the ledge. And so, me not doing anything that day and being curious, I decided to check it out. I had my camera on me anyways, and lo and behold, it was some people protesting the bombings in Syria.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so there was almost no. There were no other reporters there or anything like that.
Interesting.
Yeah, so I was just like, oh, okay.
So how many people were there?
Like a lot more than you would kind of expect from that sort of thing. They were saying like it was just like they had done something like 2 weeks ago, and this was kind of just out of the blue as well. But there was like a lot of them. Like they had it was families just with their kids holding up signs and people speaking. I think there was a representative from City Hall was there. I didn't get his name, but he was talking and saying like, "This is great. I'm glad people feel like they can use this space for this to speak out."
Yeah, I mean, we sort of touched on this last episode, I think. I mean, this is what I was talking about when I was talking about my downtown news and how people sort of use the ledge, which is right downtown, as a gathering place to make statements and protests and come together sort of and band together on issues that are important to them, whether they're community issues or international issues. I just think that's great that we have something like that downtown.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
There was also following the not guilty verdict in the Tina Fontaine case, in which, just background information on that, there was a why can't I come up with his name?
And they're still tented down.
Raymond
they are
Cormier,
still.
That was something that the protesters had brought up with me. But, sorry,
yeah.
Continue.
So like Raymond Cormier was accused in Tina Fontaine's death. Tina Fontaine being a 15-year-old Indigenous girl who was murdered. But Cormier was acquitted or not guilty verdict. Anyways, so following that, people set up camp on the legislative ground, and you say they were still there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that the tent was still there. They had their signs just kind of pitched outside the tent, stating why they were there for and asking for justice for Indigenous women.
So
and one of the protesters had come up to me and said, like, just as we fight for justice for some of us who consider this our home or like out there, we also fight for justice for these people. Like we want them and we want people to know that we're fighting for justice here as well.
So you have that clip?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that will be played right now.
The Manitoba Legislative Building, the Golden Boy. The neoclassical building can be symbolic for many different things for many different people. As I walked closer and closer, I noticed more and more of a crowd. These people came together to speak out against the terrible bombings occurring in Syria. People held up graphic images of the atrocities, bloody bodies of men, women, and children, what used to be buildings rendered into dust. Even children were playing their part in the protest. Two holding up signs reading out, "For the humanity inside you, act for Ghouta," and "To the international community, are cluster bombs and chlorine gas internationally forbidden weapons, or is it legal in Ghouta?" I took some time to photograph the event, and really listen to what was said. Afterwards, I spoke to some of the protesters and heard their stories and what they think needs to change.
What happened here today? What was this?
Today we have protest here just to show the people what happened in Syria, like killing kids and women with the chemical weapons, with the silence of the community. So we have to raise our voice to let the Canadian government, as we know, Canada is the best country in the world in the term of the human rights, in the term of, you know, the freedom. Mm-hmm. So we have to attract the attention of people, so to tell them that what happened in Syria. Mm-hmm.
And how do you feel about the turnout here today?
Yeah, it's very great, and we have support from the Canadian, from the parliament, from their community.
Some were optimistic, some not so much.
Hopefully something will be done very soon about it, at least I hope. Mm-hmm. Knowing this world here, usually stuff like this does not get done at all.
Nevertheless, I was inspired by their actions and their courage. As I left the legislative building, one of them stopped me and pointed to the tent stationed just outside. You see, another group is sleeping outside in the cold to protest Canada's inaction when it comes to missing and murdered Indigenous women. The man told me to tell them, just as we speak out for Syria, we speak out for you and these women. We need to. That is the power of the Manitoba Legislative Building.
We'll get into the news?
Yeah.
I suppose so.
All right, well, let's start by talking about Marketland.
Yes, Aiden, you are the Marketlands expert here. Unfortunately, I have not done my homework. I haven't done my reading. I know there was just an announcement about it yesterday.
Yeah.
So fill us in.
So Brian Bowman, our mayor, was here at Red River College yesterday to help announce the unveiling of Marketlands, a new, what would you call it? A new redevelopment of the City Hall and the Public Safety Building that was emptied out in 2016.
That building has to go. That is a disgusting-looking building.
Yeah, so it's the Public Safety Building, and then there's this parkade.
Yeah, it's the parkade as well.
Which is apparently
crumbling. So this is like 2.4 acres of just like space that they're looking to redevelop and remake. There's talks about they want to make like a green space, have like as long as they're allowed to do that as long as they have a caveat that
that's
for
fantastic.
Public use.
That's so exciting. I'm so happy. Commercial developments? Residential developments?
They're looking for commercial. Like, they're looking to have, like, small little businesses. From some of the images that they showed, they want to have, like, small little, like, shop corners out in the district.
Imagine
the
how
cube,
much
and
that will enhance things like Fringe Festival
Jazz
Fest or things that go on in the Exchange in the summer.
Yeah.
Like, that's just going
to
make it
and
10
if you watch better. If you watch the video that they kind of supplied to go along with this, they show the videos of Nuit Blanche and Fringe Fest and Jazz Fest, and like this is what the culture could look like with this on top of this.
They're also planning to put residential units, according to this one here, this story here from the Global News.
Oh, sweet.
I mean, there's plenty of residential units around here, so people obviously do live around here. Would you guys ever consider moving downtown?
I'm not sure if we've talked about this maybe in our first episode, but I
might have.
I would.
I think I might, yeah.
I would totally. I mean,
I used to live on Sherbrooke, so like now, like I have some experience living in.
Well, I mean, I'm like
downtownish area.
A 10-minute, not even drive to the school, so like I don't mind where I'm living right now, but I would like an apartment in the downtown. I think once I graduate.
What I would be looking for though is something like a little like it feels like a little like Toronto. You know what I mean? Like a little
tiny studio
spice
apartment.
Of life.
Yeah, kind of like sleek and minimal and modern.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my aesthetic.
I was waiting for your reaction.
You're just missing
spacious.
The millennial pink.
Well, there could be that too.
Ooh, hint, hint.
But that's what I'd be looking for in a place downtown.
Center Venture. Paint that millennial pink.
That's what I'd be looking for.
Be all over it.
Okay, no, I have such a big thing for brick buildings and studio apartments. I just, I'm getting all excited. And like the thing is they like, okay, the thing is in the downtown, it's not all that affordable to like live
here. No, it is not.
Like the apartments are quite expensive.
I've been looking at apartments for the last little while because I'm planning to move into the city next fall. And they're not accepted.
No.
There's like one like right close to here. Like, it's right by school. But we'd have to get like two more roommates going in here. That'd be a little much.
I mean, I just think, in terms of like enhancing the culture, I just think something like Marketlands will make for a much more warm and welcome. Not that it isn't already, but it just
Well, I mean, the Park Age sure isn't.
True. Yeah, like that building, there's nothing nice about that building. Yeah. It's brutalist looking. It's old and dilapidated and it's empty and it needs to go and it needs to be, and something needs to be made of it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, buildings that just sit empty, they really just, they take away from what the Exchange District has. Like, it has all this charm.
What it could be.
Yeah, it's just potential being wasted sitting there. Yeah. Even that walkway, like, it's decrepit looking, the walkway around that building, it's all these,
like, I'm just imagining,
it's so hard to walk around.
I'm just imagining. Yeah, it's hard. I mean, it gets in the way.
It's all gated. And
like, it really kind of, like, divides the Exchange District in a way. Like, think about how much more, like, vibrant and lively it'll be. More potential for businesses on the other side of, like, where our school is. Like, yeah, all kinds of stuff can come from that. And I'm just thinking about how much more fun, like, things like Fringe Fest and Nuit Blanche will be. Ugh. with all that green space and stuff. Like, I think it'll be fun.
Yeah. The only one of the concerns, not the only concern, I'm sure, is where is everyone going to park? That's a quick concern that's raised here in the Global article. Because it's the quote here from a fellow by the name of Leonard Taylor is like, "We're talking about adding 400 new units to this neighborhood and only 200 new parking stalls."
Ooh.
And parking is already a hot commodity in the area.
Yeah.
Parking's a hot commodity
everywhere.
I mean, I'm a big fan of parking. I like parking stalls.
I love parking.
I don't love the physical act. I'm a big fan of having lots of it around because my least favorite thing in the world is driving around for 10 minutes trying to find parking. Mm-hmm. Hate it. So I'm a big fan of put more parking in, but like, where?
The thing is about building more parking in the downtown is it's such a balance. You don't want just to be a sea of parking.
You don't want downtown to just be a parking lot.
But the thing downtown. Is parking lots are ugly. They are. There's no way around it. Parking lots are ugly, and they take away from the picturesque downtown look.
But how are people supposed to get here if they can't find anywhere to put their car?
Walk.
I have a foot problem.
I live in Steinbeck. But with that,
if they are going to go that route, they also need to, you know, have better bike routes. And have
I would like to learn biking, how to, like, bike in the city without spaces. Getting run over. that is something I'm looking forward to next fall. I want to bring a bike to the city.
I'm not entirely sure you can pull it off, Aislinn.
I can barely walk without getting run over. This is a hot mess.
And yet, here you are.
I'm somehow still alive.
Dude, where's my car?
Let's talk about pot again.
Could we leave that situation alone?
Let's pot it for another.
It's going to be apparently not legal to smoke it in any public place, which I don't know why anyone would be shocked about that exactly. But some people are like a little upset about that. They're like, I don't understand why the government isn't embracing the legalization instead of.
Geraldine, would you say they're highly upset?
Oh, my God.
Sorry.
Someone's going to get stoned over this issue.
Yes.
No.
Aiden and I are leaving.
You know what?
Well,
the jokes are a joint effort.
I was pro pun at the beginning of this podcast, but now I'm anti pun.
as soon as pot came into the thing.
Okay.
So the story is, this is your downtown news story, right?
Yes.
Okay, so the story is you won't be able to smoke marijuana in public. And to my response to that is, like, are you surprised because you can't drink in public?
And also, I mean, smoking, like, cigarette smoking in public is also quite regulated, like, how far away from an entrance you have to be and stuff like that. So, I mean, it's kind of not surprising.
It's a pretty dank situation.
Are you just Googling different ways to say weed?
Yes.
And I mean, okay, so I don't smoke pot, and I probably never will, and I think it stinks.
Okay.
Can I feature Bartley Kivas's
tweet
on Manitoba's cannabis
just credit
plan?
Credit him.
You may not smoke it in your car. You may not smoke it in a bar. You may not smoke it while you roam. Want to smoke? Do that at home.
You cannot smoke it on a train. You cannot smoke it on a plane.
It's like Dr. Seuss.
You cannot smoke it here or there? I thought we could smoke it anywhere. Not on a train. Not in a tree. Not in a park. Brian, let me be.
Brian, let me be.
Hey, I don't think anyone can be all that surprised. That's kind of funny. Like, that's the thing is, Yeah, you can't get publicly intoxicated. Why would you think getting high is this like going to be different?
So we don't have any.
And it's also we just had that smoking patio debate with like cigarettes.
Did you think you'd be able to walk down the street
and vaping,
smoking?
Okay, you know what
though?
As someone who rides public transportation, let me tell you, people act like it's legal already and like it's fine to smoke in public, and I'm like it's not legal yet. But, like, people do that at, like, the bus stop or something. I've definitely had people smoking a joint next to me.
Like, yeah, people already do walk down the street smoking marijuana. Yeah.
And, that's the thing. People do it already, and it's not even legal yet. Like, I'm kind of curious how they're going to police this or, like, enforce it. You know what I mean?
How did they enforce the whole smoking, not smoking in, like, certain public places things? Like, standing, you have to stand farther away from the entrance and so forth.
Yeah, I think it's just a fine, right?
You get fined.
Yeah. Okay. Well.
What is it for drinking in public? Public intoxication. Is there a fine?
It's a fine. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So there's probably going to be a public.
I think it might just fall under. Actually, I don't know.
Being high in public.
Disorderly conduct.
I would honestly say they might even just group it under public intoxication.
We'll see. That's possible. Yeah. I don't know.
Brian.
But in the meantime, then some people are like, well.
Also, which Brian are we talking about? Because there's two Brians.
All the Brians. The life of Brian.
Yeah, are we talking the province of Brian. Or
Brian Palomino Club?
Oh. There's only room for one Brian in this town.
Jets have broken a record, I understand.
Yes, they have. I'm glad you brought that up because as a huge sports enthusiast, as I've been told I am often considered,
I'm enthusiastic about sports.
I'm not enthusiastic about sports, but I don't mind them.
Well, I mean,
I'll watch them.
I'll be there.
I'm
I'll take
not
pictures.
The number one sports enthusiast, but the Jets set a, I believe, franchise record. Yeah, franchise record. I'm just on the Winnipeg Sun right now, looking at the article they did.
A truly reputable news source.
Yes. so, yeah, they played on the 9th, and they played against the New Jersey Devils. So they set a record for 35 wins in a season. That's the age. 35 is the age of the person who set the record.
Oh, good
I'm
for
sorry.
Him. Good for him.
So proud.
Wow.
Wow.
His mother is proud, too.
I can't seem to find which the record
isn't
they
it 44?
Set was. I thought it was. I'm just trying to find it to clarify. Otherwise, I don't want to like misinform the huge following that we have.
The huge public that we have. You see, I don't follow the Jets just other than just sort of cursory. Where are they in the playoffs right now? Which they're not in the playoffs right now, but you know that kind of stuff. And I didn't even know that Patrick Laine was from Finland. I was just like, oh, he's a white guy.
Ooh, I found it. Okay, new franchise record, 44 regular season wins. They
I
won
was
it
right.
in overtime, 2-1. So, yeah, they set a franchise record at 45 regular season wins. I believe, what is it, hockey playoffs? Or what do they call it? Playoffs?
Playoffs.
Okay, hockey.
Good old hockey game.
Yeah, it's hockey playoffs are going to be coming soon.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so.
And so if you're not in the downtown to watch hockey games, you will have a hard time moving around. That is the moral of that story.
Well, the thing is with the Jets, like, since the franchise has returned, it's brought business to the downtown. Like, when there's a Jets game on, you feel it. Like, there's a certain energy, and it brings people downtown.
You know what? That's a good point. You can tell, like, leaving school.
Mm-hmm. If it's a Jets game, you know that
you know it's
a Jets
game.
Because you see people in jerseys. And I might not be a sports person, but I do enjoy the aspect of how it brings people together into the downtown. And it sounds really cheesy when I say sports brings people together. But
imagine
it
how
is really
ripped
cool.
apart the city's morale must have been when the Jets originally were taken away.
Yeah.
Like, we must have lost our identity as a city.
Yeah.
Well, I think the Jets have given us a sense of pride as a city, you know? Like,
unity.
Like, I don't even follow hockey that much, but when the Jets are playing, I get excited to see that they won a game. Like, I don't watch the game personally, but I'll, like, look at the score and I'll be like, that's really cool. Like, our team just won. And it's weird to be like, our team, but it is. Mm-hmm. It's our team.
I saw an interesting artifact in the house of one of our classmates, Kelsey. It was a wooden, like, tribal mask thing with a Jets logo painted on it.
Beautiful.
It's like, beautiful. Where did you, what? What's the story with that? Like, a wooden mask with the Jets logo on it?
Damn, well,
she had bought it in Mexico, I believe. Like, there was just a big booth of all these wooden masks.
Amazing.
With NHL logos on them. Like, yeah, that's exactly where I want my
That's the authentic Mexican experience. Yes. I just want you to all know that.
Yes, absolutely. Like, it's a huge center for hockey, after all. Yeah. They know their demographic that's coming down there, though. That's
what the Canadians who are tired of winter and want to be somewhere warm.
But still want to think about home as they buy souvenirs.
Am I the only one left?
Yeah, it's you.
My piece of downtown news. It's nothing huge, but... Sorry, I'm just looking at it here. Okay. True North Square. Downtown Winnipeg's exciting new high-rise development.
What?
Has reached...
Boo.
Well, how do I word this? Okay.
Capitalism at its finest.
I believe there's only two... Yeah, okay, Aiden. I believe there's only two... There's two buildings that there... Or, unless there are three. Do either of you know? Do any of you know? Is it three or two towers? Well, either way, two of their towers have reached maximum height. One being 25 stories tall and the other being 17 stories tall. And the first... corporate tenant is scheduled to move in this June.
Ooh.
This June.
So I think what True North, I mean, we can just have this conversation about True North. I think what True North Square represents about downtown Winnipeg is that it's a growing metropolis full of exciting new high-rise developments that'll have commercial, residential, restaurants, condos.
Well, I just pulled up a picture of it. It's beautiful.
Yeah, did you see it on the website? It looks really cool, state-of-the-art kind of thing. Oh, I'm digging that.
It makes me feel like Winnipeg is, like, big.
Yeah, so that's what I'm trying to hit on, is, like, developments like this, it really legitimizes downtown Winnipeg as a real downtown.
Well, I feel like half the time Winnipeg is, like, trying to scream, like, we're a real city, because we're...
I'm a real boy!
Yeah, it is. We're, like, we sometimes aren't taken as seriously as some of the other big cities in Canada. We're kind of, like, an afterthought half the time. So it kind of is cool to see these developments taking place, that it's like, wow, yeah, we are a real city. So I don't know. I'm excited. I really hope that comes to fruition.
Fruition.
Oh.
Fruition.
I really hope that comes to fruitation.
Which is not a whole lot different from lactation, as I understand.
Lastly here, before we sign off once and for all, we wanted to talk about the magazine trade fair that's happening.
And our event recommendations.
Oh, yeah, let's do that first.
Can be our trade fair, if someone would like to
recommend
pump
the trade
that
fair.
Up a bit.
It's not even cheating. Like, it's like Downtown Rex. It doesn't have to even be an event. It could be a business.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I can start with that while you all...
I have mine.
Okay. Saturday Night Swing Out is something that happens... Why doesn't it even say where it is? Okay, yeah. Ted Motyka's Dance Studio, which is on Main Street, 460 Main Street, hosts Saturday Night Swing Out, which is Lindy, which I'm not sure what that is, but Lindy or Jive Lessons at 8 p.m. Dance, and then you dance at 9.
We can dance if we want to.
It's $10 for the night, so if you want to, like, just learn how to dance, no experience necessary. All experience... levels welcome. $10.
I can't dance.
Very good recommendation.
Well, as someone who cannot dance, that is an interesting recommendation.
I'm interested in that.
Respectfully decline.
I would like to go by myself so that no one I know is there and can't see me, the Mennonite girl, try to learn how to dance. Because I have a feeling that I'd be rather hopeless at it. I'm not saying I don't have any sense of rhythm, but Mennonites historically have not been able to dance.
All right, well, so my recommendation is actually business, because today in class I was going to go to a thrift store to try to find some props for a project I'm working on. Didn't find the props, but I did find some cool records at a thrift store, so I'm recommending the Goodwill down the street if you want to get some sick records, because that's what I did today and it was fun.
Wow,
good rec.
Records from a
rec. I'm a big fan of thrift stores.
I love them.
Get the rec.
Big, big fan.
This wasn't even intentional, but this also has something to do with the Goodwill, but the Goodwill Bar and Social Club. But have a nice day. Ooh. The food extension or restaurant extension of the Goodwill is having their brunch kickoff party this Saturday.
I heard they had good tacos.
11 a.m. Yo, they're so good.
I've never been there.
Like regular tacos or like breakfast tacos?
Like regular tacos.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Love me a good taco.
Just the other day I was watching some sort of like BuzzFeed video about breakfast tacos. So I got BuzzFeed.
That doesn't sound like a bad idea either, though.
Breakfast tacos on the brain.
I do love breakfast. Oof. But yeah, no, they recently revamped their whole entire menu, and then we'll be announcing their brunch menu this Saturday to kind of go along with that at 11 a.m. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Cool.
So be perfect there. Brunch time. Be there. Have some brunch.
Have some brunch.
You know you want to.
Treat yourself.
Brunch is...
Brunch!
I don't know how to feel about it.
What?
Hot take.
Happy?
Do tell.
That exists?
Do tell.
Oh, you know, it just like, it's a weird hour of the day to have like eggs.
I don't know. Are you kidding?
I'm sorry.
What is the correct hour of the day to have eggs?
Let me paint you a picture. You roll out of bed at like 10:30, 11. You want breakfast foods, but okay, it's kind of almost lunch. So you have this dilemma.
You feel pretty pathetic just having cereal.
Do you have soup first thing in the day or a sandwich? No. You want breakfast food.
No.
Shut your mouth.
I do not like breakfast food. I would... Every day of the week, opt for a sandwich over.
I do not like you, dude.
Like, okay. I actually, like, wow. because I have to, like, grab breakfast and then go on a long commute, I often have grilled cheese for
grilled
my breakfast.
Grilled cheese is good.
Grilled cheese is, like, I could say
because
that,
I
like
can
a
throw it in the pan
when
and
I wake
be
up in the morning, I don't want a sandwich. I want waffles. I want
a sandwich.
French toast.
When I die, I want them to do a buffet spread of breakfast foods. Like every important event in my life, there has to be a spread of waffles. Aiden, a waffle bar.
You know what I want when I want when I wake up in the morning? And this is a good transition into my downtown recommendation.
Whoa.
What?
When I wake up in the morning, I want macaroni and cheese. So
Kevin's.
Spoilers.
Tell us about Kevin's.
If you happen to find yourself in the downtown Winnipeg area, please do yourself the favor of checking out Kevin's Bistro. It's actually a part of the Stella's franchise, everyone's favorite Manitoba restaurant chain, Stella's.
I love Stella's.
They have this new restaurant in the Exchange District called Kevin's Bistro, and the only items that are on the menu...
Bougie mac and cheese.
Various versions of macaroni and cheese, and it is fattening, but it is
so good.
Any food worth eating is also considered fattening. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, but like, it's revolutionary. A macaroni and cheese
game.
Restaurant, and also the aesthetic is, it kind of looks
it's
like
chill.
A, it looks like a microbrewery in there, kind of.
Yeah, it's chill.
So that's
big
my recommendation.
Windows.
And fun fact, the restaurant is named after a dead cat.
True. I think Stella's is also named after a cat.
So, you know, like, let's name our restaurants after dead cats now.
Well, okay, so
2020.
What we'll do here lastly is talk about the trade fair briefly, and then we'll sign off.
See.
Fair trade.
Fair trade at the trade fair.
The trade fair, the fair trade.
So the tea on the trade fair is that it's happening on April 13th. The trade fair is based on magazines we're making. So this podcast is part of our magazine on the downtown of Winnipeg. Our magazine is called Core Magazine. We're going to be there with a booth. It's going to be super sick. I'm designing the booth with some bougie elements. So you'll want to be there.
Aislinn is our bougie brand manager.
Yeah, it's going to be a pretty cool magazine. We've been working really hard on it. And if you like millennial pink minimalism and downtown stuff, you're going to love it.
It's going to be fun.
And, yeah.
Be there.
There's going to be about 20 booths, I think.
Yeah, so if you want to come down and check out some student-made magazines. And, like, these are legit magazines full of feature stories, bonus content, pictures. What else?
Prizes.
Yeah, there's going to be prizes. Well, probably some free food.
There's going to be food. Maybe some live music, I heard.
Yeah.
But
all the booths are doing different cool things, so it's definitely worth checking out. It's at the Exchange District campus at noon on April 13th.
Yes.
13th.
And come say hi to us, your favorite podcast host.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's going to be at 160 Princess Street, by the way. The Roblin Center is what it's called.
So
it's going to be an all-around good time right here in downtown Winnipeg.
Hey. So come by the Core Winnipeg booth and talk to your favorite Not the Suburbs podcast hosts.
We're your favorite Not the Suburbs podcast host. Who else is there?
Is there another Not the Suburbs podcast? Because if they are, we will hunt them down.
We will hunt them
down. I'm about to start swinging if there is.
Catch these hands.
They can catch these hands. We are the only viable option for a Not the Suburbs podcast.
All right.
Sorry.
If they want to fight me, then fight me.
I think Okay,
says
on that
the
note.
Person who looks like they probably never fit, like, fought fit. In some- never fit in someone.
You should never underestimate how much a small person has fought.
I'm so sleep deprived. I'm running off straight coffee, guys.
I'm basically existing on caffeine and painkillers.
That was one of the meanest things Aislinn's ever said.
No, you just—you look really nice, like you wouldn't fight someone. No, that wasn't like me being mean. He just looks like he wouldn't fight someone.
Okay, this is really deteriorating fast. So I think we better.
We're
start
learning
off.
Things about each other.
My name is Jerry Marantz.
My name is Aiden.
I'm Aislinn.
She thinks she is. I'm Geraldine.
And for perhaps the last time, a little bit bittersweet, thanks for listening, everyone.
Yeah, thanks for checking out our zesty podcast and listening.
Wait,
in.
Let's do the thing that we talked about before. Okay, 3, 2, 1.
Stay zesty!